Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Welcome to the Truth Is Out There, Voice of the People radio show. We got a very special show tonight. A friend of ours that we work with really is calling in. I admire this guy because he really sticks his head out and goes and takes the bullets because he is a fighter. He's fighting for the children in the communities. He's fighting for the kids to get an education, non-indoctrination recruitment. He also is fighting to eliminate corruption in Broward County in many different forms. And he also is an outspoken critic of many things that's happening around here. Let me introduce you to Chris Nelson. How are you doing, Chris?
Hi, Joe. How are you doing?
All right. You know, I want to tell you, the last few days, I've been, you and I know each other for a couple of years now anyway, from Freedom Corner and Broward First and Gabe and all that stuff. But you always been out in the forefront and fighting for the children. I see you all the time going to the school boards and standing up for parental rights. Can you explain to our listeners what's going on here in Broward County?
Oh, well, there's a big shift going on here in Broward, and I'll explain how I got into going to the school board and speaking out. I just want these people to know that give me dirty looks when I go in there, like the superintendent does on a regular basis, that I never would have even gone to a school board meeting, nor would I have cared one bit had they not attempted to force masks on children. And it was really the fighting back against mandates that led me to the school board because we got rid of these things. I see mask mandates as a cancer on society. We got rid of these things everywhere else, but they were still making the kids wear them. And I'm like, what the hell is going on here? You're going to tell everybody else that it's fine, we can all go about our lives, but these kids, when they go to school, they have to be forced to wear a mask? What the heck is going on here? So I started going to these meetings and fighting against these mask mandates, and had a lot of interesting things happen. You know, got kicked out a couple of times because we wouldn't wear masks, and then they locked us out of the building, which I think was a major violation of the Sunshine Law. We could have sued the crap out of them over that. And, you know, it was I just couldn't believe that this was happening. Got into a big screaming match with the teachers union boss, and she's yelling, "I don't care about your children, da da da." You know, I'm like, this is the union boss? And I just couldn't believe the freak show that was the Broward School Board. So
the Broward School Board and the teachers union, they really don't care about the schools or the school kids at all. It's a political entity, and that's all it is. The far left Democratic type, communist type mentors, they want to control the kids, and they believe that you as a parent have no say of your kids in school. And it's their kids, not yours. And that's one of the reasons why what Governor DeSantis did to parental rights law.
The governor is doing, and we're making some headway here. We have two Republican school board members and a pretty decent moderate chairwoman, Lori Aladef. But we've got my friend Brenda Pham won a seat on the school board, and she did it on her own. She didn't even have Governor DeSantis's endorsement, and nobody thought she would win, and she did. She beat this really nasty bully of a guy who was backed by the teachers union and backed by everybody else, Gum Sentinel and all these other news sources. They all called her a nut job, and everybody said that she would never get on. Well, guess what? She won, and that should be a message to everyone in Broward County. We should never have a time where a commissioner or a school board member or anybody is running unopposed by a solid conservative Republican candidate, because that's how we flip this county. I believe, and actually I know, that most people in this county do not like the direction that these people are going in. They did not like the forced masking. They did not like the business closures. They didn't like these things. And then being treated basically like you're a child and being told what to do by the government. And now it's time to really take our county back and drive these people out, because they're really wicked people. The teachers union boss is a wicked person. And they do this. They get to the kids, because they know if they get to the kids, then that's the time where you can fill their brains full of this nonsense, confuse them. That's where you get a lot of this indoctrination, the sexual stuff they're trying to teach the kids, the sexual confusion they're preaching to children, and then they deny that it's even going on. And then you've got a complicit media that runs cover for them. And I started covering the school board. It's not my job. It's not my source of income. But I started covering it because I saw that the legacy media outlets were not doing that. What was happening in there was not being covered in any way. And the media actually runs cover for these people. And actually acts as an advocate.
You know, one of the things that your investigation is covering is kickbacks and all kinds of corruption between a number of school board members, the teachers union, and even going as far to FTX and the cybercurrency fiasco and the tie-ins there. It's all tied together and the corruption there. That's one of the things you've been supposedly saying in the last few days. Can you explain that a little bit?
I mean, if you want to talk about FTX, I filed an ethics complaint against the vice chair, Debbie Hickson, because she was taking a salary from FTX, $49,000 a year. She wrote it on her form declaring that. Red Broward covered it. The Scum Sentinel did not. They've not said a word about this. And thank God for sources like Red Broward. And by the way, you can follow me on Twitter at ReopenChris. That's where I share most of my information. But thank God for places like Red Broward, because the scum Sentinel refused to cover this, and you're not seeing it anywhere else. I think it's a pretty big story that the vice chair was taking a salary from a company that turned out to be a sham company. And my ethics complaint involved her being the liaison for this FTX hackathon, where students were given prizes, and I don't know if they were given those prizes, they were given scholarships. Are they going to be able to keep those scholarships? But the thing is she was acting as a liaison between this thing, promoting it, and at the same time on the payroll of the company that turned out to be a shill company.
Which is also a conflict of interest.
I know the ethics department got my complaint, and we'll see if they open an investigation into it. I
hope
they
probably will. They may or may not, but I guarantee you when Governor DeSantis does his job, get rid of Tony, put me in when he successfully do that, I will guarantee you that we will be investigating that and looking into it. Broward County is not going to have this type of corruption ever again, and that's one of the things we're going to be doing.
Well, so, yeah, I hope he does, and the governor has shown that he's willing to take action, and actually we're going to be seeing another appointee by the governor to the Broward School Board. Rod Velez, he won his election but was not found to be not eligible to take that seat. Now, I think Rod's a good guy. I've started talking to him. He's a pretty good guy, and it's sad what's happened. I think it's wrong that that when you get your voting rights back, you don't also get your right to run for office again. But the fact of the matter is that's the law. So now we're in a position where he hasn't been able to take that seat. So we're going to get another DeSantis appointee, and this one will be for a 4-year term, which will be fantastic. So we'll have two solid Republicans on a 4-year term, and then one solid one, Tory Alston, on a 2-year term. So that's three on there. And then the chair, Lori Aladep, is a very good – she's a moderate. I mean, I know she's to the left on social issues, but, you know, and then you've got the other ones that are just straight up on the left, and they vote for the teachers union every single time. So I think – and then also we're also seeing that the governor at his summit for school board just a couple days ago said – that he's going to be pushing inflation, and we know when this governor pushes for legislation, he gets it, to end the paycheck or to have paycheck protection for teachers so they don't have these union fees confiscated out of their paychecks. They actually have to write a check. That will cripple the union. And what needs to happen to the teachers union is they need to be crippled beyond repair, and then they need to be crushed into powder, into the ground, out of existence. So they are disbanded. And the same thing needs to happen to the Scum Sentinel, by the way. These are villains.
Well,
the Scum Sentinel and the Broward Teachers Union are cancers within our community. And, they stand for the teachers. They do not. They don't.
Yeah. No, they don't. But the Teachers Union are the ones that, if you ever saw the movie Whose Children Are They?, we had Rebecca on, with Fredericks on, a few months back when she came out with the movie Whose Children Are They? The Teachers Union is one of the most dangerous unions in the country. They actually are communist controlled, and they want to indoctrinate your kids to hate themselves, and those, of course, they're trying to doctor kids to become a different sex when they're not, and they're trying to control them from beginning to end as they breed new, what they call little communists down the line, because they don't want these kids to be successful. They just want to be controlled and dictate and change them what they are. And that's a dangerous situation. And yes, I think the teachers' union should be disbanded. It doesn't protect the teachers or it protects the children at all. They're just an arm of the DNC and the Communist Party.
Yeah, they everything that is evil, they stand for, and they were the ones that were pushing force masking the hardest. So if they don't like that I'm around and that I'm challenging them, had they not pushed the force masking policies, I wouldn't be around. So they only have themselves to blame.
You know, as far as Red Broward's concerned, he's a great guy. Him and I go back, 12 years. Tom, and he is really, really good. And he followed me when I ran for Congress, and he knows me very well. And he's out, him and I and you and others, we're getting these information out there to protect the kids, and that's important. There's also what they call a drag queen show coming up, which you are really out of.
It's important to point out, you know, I don't have any personal problems with drag queens. I work in the entertainment industry, and I actually occasionally work with drag queens. They're performers. They have every right to earn a living. They're actually entertaining to watch sometimes. I enjoy them sometimes. But what they're doing with these shows and this Christmas drag show is specifically targeting children and incorporating them into their show. Young children, like 8- and 9-year-olds, and shaking their butts and their faces. I mean, drag shows are for adults. They always have been. This whole thing where drag shows are now marketing to children and bringing them in and then actually incorporating them in the show. And we've got this Christmas drag show coming to Fort Lauderdale on the 26th, where there's guys in little thongs and in reindeer outfits doing simulated sexual acts on each other. And you just see this thing and you watch just the clips from it that were shared by Taylor Hansen on Twitter, which he got, you know, now they're going around trying to ban people. I'm banned on Facebook now for sharing the pictures from this thing, which they're not like explicitly pornographic, but now all of a sudden Facebook and Twitter, Facebook's being very, this is sexual stuff you can't share. No, it's the context of how it's shared. They don't want this getting out. And this is a tactic that they do. They go, oh, wow, you know, you're the one that's sharing the sexual stuff by sharing what's going on in there. And you see sicko perverts like Scott Travis at the Scum Sentinel, who instead of being at the school board meeting yesterday, he's arguing with parents on Twitter about this drag show and talking about how it's okay to do this in front of kids. You know, this guy's a real sicko. And I wouldn't want him anywhere near a school. And you got, they're trying to do this. And now we've actually, my friend Elon Gerber, Florida Fathers for Freedom, has organized a protest against this. And he was actually just on OAN today. And we're putting pressure on the Broward Center to make this adults only. They've now changed it. Kids have to have an adult, have to have a parent with them. But that's not good enough. We want this change to adults only. And you know that, I'm sure that'll make them so sad. And other venues are doing this too, because they want this to be targeted at children. They mingle with children in the show. They got this one guy with tits in a box. He's like, I think it's a takeoff on the I don't know, can we cuss on your show? I don't know.
No, you can do it. But one of the things that's great about this show, being that it's on Block Talk, is the fact that we don't have an FCC regulations or anything. You could actually say what is in your heart and soul. The only thing we don't allow is personal attacks go back and forth. That doesn't work. But anything else, go ahead. Free game.
Well, you know, it's a takeoff on Dick in a Box. That was the Justin Timberlake thing. And a lot of things in drag shows, if you've ever been to a drag show, they do a lot of parodies of different things. They take things and they make them sexual. You know, they take a movie or something and they make it sexual. Like they got screwed off the red-nippled reindeer in this thing. All right, that's fine, whatever. It can be funny sometimes. But they're targeting it at children and walking around with these big pits bouncing around and asking kids, oh, are you hungry? And going up to eight-year-olds and getting them to be involved in the show. And you know, that's called grooming, by the way. And they say, oh, grooming's
yes.
not going on. No, this is grooming. And this is and it's sick. And, you know, I bring this up. I'm like, what if a pastor at a church at his Christmas special decided to dance around up in a thong and ask kids if they thought how his butt looked and said, hey, you like that, huh? You want some of this? What do you think people would do? People would be outraged. The left would be outraged. How could see what sick perverts these Christians are? But this protected group under the umbrella of LGBTQIALMNOP+, they get to do these things and do sick things. Why, by the way, pastors shouldn't be doing that either. Nobody should.
Yeah.
But they get protected. And it's like, oh, well, that's just what they do. That's fine. No. And there needs to be more pressure, because clearly they haven't gotten the message completely, put on the Broward Center. 18 and over, period. No children allowed in this thing. So I urge your audience to call the Broward Center and tell them that we want this thing to be 18 and over. And their number's 954-462-0222.
Repeat that for our listeners.
954-462-0222, the Broward Center. Call them, and the more calls they get, public pressure works. We want to get it to where they make this adults only. And is that such a hard thing to do, really? To say that kids can't come to a show that has naked men all over each other, up on the screen, and people dancing around with prosthetic titties.
You know, see, the thing is, you're right about the teeth, about grooming. It's not just it's the shows. It's a whole area that they're doing. It's not just one section. They're actually using this like a full court press on grooming our little kids to be something they're not. Either trying to teach them to hate themselves, or to become sex, or to change their sex, or to become gay, or any of that stuff, to try and get them, because it's all part of a major plan to destroy the family entity of a mother and a father and the kids and the parent and parental rights. They want to destroy all that. And if you get the kids so the teachers tell the kids, don't tell your parents what we're saying. And they got these pronouns and all the other stuff that they're doing. It's all part of the same plan. So when you do these drag shows that are geared for these kids, it all comes out to the same plan of indoctrinating, recruiting our kids to be something that they're not, and to lower their values, morals, self-esteem, and everything else, so they have to be able to control them. And that's how it's done. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. So, you know, I can't really say ultimately what, only speculate. And I'm not going to try to say what's in any of these people's hearts or what their ultimate goal is. But this is just common decency. This is not that hard. And this is also adhering to the law, that we have laws. I can't just walk up to a kid, not that I would ever want to, but I can't just walk up to an eight-year-old and take off my pants and shake my butt around. I'd be arrested and thrown in jail for a very long time, rightfully so. But this group, they do this, okay?
I think it's
and
I
they get away with it because of the context that it's in. They
right.
should be
I think
arrested.
It's child abuse.
For doing
I think it's child abuse, and they should be arrested for child abuse or assault. If you allow these 8-year-olds, 9-year-olds, and their parents shouldn't be doing it either. Parents should not allow these kids to go to these things. We had, I think it was a couple of years ago, we had a teacher and a school board member, I believe it was, that took these, I think, 8th graders, or not 8th grade, 8-year-olds rather, to a gay bar as a field trip, and they didn't tell the parents, they just did it. You know, that's all part of grooming and indoctrinating. I think you should remember that.
That was board member Sarah Leonardi that did that. And she did that as a way to trigger people, which she got the response that she was looking for. Now, I actually did defend her on this. By not telling the parents, though, that's inexcusable. They should be let known about this. However, she did take them to a place called Rosie's, which is somewhere where I wouldn't really call it a gay bar during the day. It's more like a restaurant. It's not one of the raunchiest places in Wilton Manors by far. But her doing it without the parents' knowledge, and actually when I saw that some of the things on the menu were sexual in nature, it was probably an inappropriate thing to do, but she was doing that as a stunt because she was trying to get a reaction from people, which she did. And, she's in my district, and I'm seriously considering a run against her because, we need to take these people on. We need to run against them, and we need a strong candidate running against them. And she consistently... number one, she barely ever shows up to work. She's calling in on the phone all the time. She seems very bored when she's there. She doesn't seem engaged or interested at all. And everything that is not right, she supports. She voted to mask the children. She wanted those kids in masks for the rest of their lives. She was preaching masks up through 2022 and wearing one herself. Now we have children throwing themselves out of third story windows, committing suicide, and they throw all this money at it. And you see this every single school board meeting. They're talking about this and these suicidal kids and suicide plans and mental health. They use that old washed out buzzword, mental health, which I prefer the word resiliency, because we need to teach kids to toughen up. Life is hard. You're going to be depressed. It's a fact of life, but you've got to learn to have a thick skin and deal with it. But people like Sarah Leonardi, they don't, they don't see the why in it. There's always the, okay, what do we do with all these kids that are suicidal? There's never a, oh, gee, maybe it was our taking away their sports. Maybe it was our erasing their identities by forcing them to wear masks all day long. Maybe it was we're teaching them that there's no such thing as God and you're just a big cosmic accident, which kids can figure that out. When you teach kids that there's no creator, they can put it together that there's really no purpose to life, because without God, there is no purpose to life. But they don't ever look in the mirror and go, why do we have this problem with kids being suicidal?
A lot of it has to do with low self-esteem. Everything you just said was correct, and it has low self-esteem as part of that. And they teach these kids in such a way that brings their self-esteem going down, not up, and they're not uplifting, and they're lowering down expectations, and they're browbeating them in different ways, and they go home, and these kids have the parents and everything, and they do whatever the parents do and everything, and then they come to school, and everything that the parents teach them gets thrown out because the teachers tell them, don't listen to the parents, listen to me. That type of thing. And then you got the pronouns, like a male, female, he or she, man, if whatever there is. And these kids, they're so confused. They don't know which way to turn.
What they're doing is, and at this drag show, dedicated to kids, Taylor Hansen caught one of the performers asking a kid, are you confused yet? And this is all coming from the devil. And if you're a Bible-believing Jew or Christian, you know that the devil is a real being, and that he has an agenda, and he's here on earth with his minions, and they like to go after children. That's something that the devil always has liked to do, because of the innocence of children, that the devil enjoys corrupting them and confusing them, because children are more easy to confuse. You're not going to confuse me. It's harder to confuse me at this point, you know, I'd say. But children are easy to confuse, especially when they don't have strong parental guidance, and especially when they don't have a strong father in the home. And if you notice, there's a war on fatherhood and a war on masculinity.
Yes.
So there's a two-pronged attack going on children right now. It's to minimize the importance of fathers, and not just having a father, but a strong father. And then also attacking them in the schools by trying to confuse them. And I mean, I get confused by this crap. This pride flag gets more crap added to it every day. I mean, what happened to just the rainbow flag? I mean, the rainbow flag was the gay pride flag. Now we've got this thing with all these weird little disgusting symbols on it. It looks like a mashed up, hideous thing now. And I would think that gay people, with their typical usual attention to style, they usually have good style, you know, would think that this thing was hideous. I can't see how any of them would have created this thing. But now you've got all these different pansexual and ansexual and this and that. And these people, they're not even gay. They're just, I don't feel like I'm in the right body, and this thing like that. And it's like,
right.
That's where gays against strippers comes up. They're trying to take
right. I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you something. Nobody's born gay. There's no such thing as a gay gene. Every scientist in the world has admitted to that already. It's a preference usually done by peer pressure or indoctrination, recruitment, groomers. That's why you're seeing all the people from the left and the LGBTQ stuff, and all those people kept pushing all these groomers and stuff, because they're trying to get them to be something they're not. Everybody grows up, when they grow up as a kid, they all experiment on things, on feelings, because it's new. But they know at the end which way they're going to apply. And that's it. But nobody is born where you have to be this or that. And they're not going to, and they're trying to change the people's agendas by using this, the drag shows and the books and the different pronouns and stuff like that. And by doing that, because we get, and this is, it was the guy from Styx, he did an interview with a magazine at the Gay Pride Parade a few years back. He said in an interview, if everybody in the gay community went into recovery, there'll be less than 1% left. Because this is from people that are gay, and they said that. So that's the thing. So they're starting at a young age for these kids to get indoctrinated and groomed, and that's why you're seeing all of this stuff. It's to try and rebuild a population that, and technically right now it's about 10%, if that. Some people say it's like 1 to 2%, if you but who knows for sure what why. But the thing is, that's where they're trying to grow it, and they're trying to wuss everybody and make us very weak. Look in the military, for example. I heard that the Marines want to cut out sir and ma'am. That's ridiculous.
I'm watching how we're, allowing this warmongering sociopath Zelensky to just walk in and address the nation, and we're supposed to be worshiping this guy, and this guy is supposed to be so wonderful. I think he's a piece of crap, and I don't think he should be allowed within our borders. And I look forward to the day that Putin brings him up.
I don't know, but I do know, based on other stuff, that Zelensky was an actor at one time.
He is an actor. This whole thing is Wag the Dog money laundering scheme. But, you know, you bring this up about weakening America. America's been weakened for a long time, and that's why it's so important to stand up for strong men. And I'm glad that my friend Elon Gerber is doing this with Florida Fathers for Freedom, because you see moms stepping up everywhere. You see Moms for Liberty doing great things, stepping up. But where are the dads? Where are the dads stepping up? A lot of times, dads have taken a back seat, and they're like, well, I don't really want to get involved in this. Where's the Christian church? Why aren't they demanding this thing not come to the – where's the Christian church? Oh, yeah, I forgot. They got their balls in a mason jar because they had this 501c3 status that they're concerned with. And church these days has become a lot more of a social club than taking on the issue.
Didn't Trump get rid of the Johnson law, and so they don't have to church, they don't have to worry about the 501c3s anymore? They can actually have political meetings and rallies like it used to be for most of the time.
I don't know, but I'd like to know about that. But I know that most churches, they stay out of these things, and they went along with the forced masking, and they went along with the shutdowns. And really, if you were a Bible-believing Christian, there's just no way that you could think that what was going on there with the forced masking and this vaccination, you know, that if you were conned into that, I really question your commitment to God and whether you really have the Spirit of God in you, because you know, you're to be that easily fooled by this thing. It's with what we know about what it says in Revelation, about what Jesus said about not being afraid, and that people would be deceiving in the last days, and you know that people fell for this, and the things that people fall for, and you know, I see it. You see it on the left, but also, you know, on the right, with you know people that just believe everything that Fox News says. Oh, if Bret Baier says it, then it's true. You know, no, sorry. You know, the only way you're really going to see truth is if you are in God's Word every day, and you have a relationship with God. That's how you see. That's how you see truth, and that's how you have that discernment to know when something is just not right. And I'm meeting people that are Jewish that are not necessarily religious, that are closer to God than a lot of Christians I know. And people that were, and it's very fascinating how we've seen this over the last couple of years with do you have the same friends now that you had in 2019? I mean, I've got
a completely different set of friends. No, I got a whole new set of friends basically. I got away from some very bad people. And I moved on to certain things, and I got the radio show, I got the podcast. I'm also working a full-time job, which is good. And everybody have a team that works with each other. You know, sometimes we go at each other, but that's fine, but that's all part of it. And it's really interesting that we do that. Anyway, I'm coming to a spot where I need to take a break. Is there any way that our listeners could get a hold of you and get be part of what you're doing?
Absolutely. You can follow me on Twitter at ReopenChris, or you can go and sign up. If you don't do the Twitter thing, you can sign up on my website, freeflorida.me. That's freeflorida.me. You can sign up for a free account there, and that will put you on my email list.
And which I believe I'm a part of that. But, again, I want to thank you, Chris, for coming on. And we got to work together as a team to clean up Broward County, and not just the school system and the education and And it's just a total mess that's here, what we call Broward County, or some people call it Cook County South. You know, it's really tough. And you're doing a great job, you and Red Brown and others. It's another one that was on OAN before. All of you guys are doing great. Thank you for coming on, okay?
Well, thank you, Joe. And Broward County is a gem. And Broward County is a wonderful place. I would not want to live anywhere else. And it is 100% worth saving. And we will save it. Thank you very much.
That's it. And between you and Red Broward and Eon and me, when DeSantis gets me into the sheriff's office, we're all going to get this. And we're going to make this safe. And we're going to make this great. And we're going to make Broward County the best county there is.
Yes, we will. Thank you, Joe.
Okay. Thank you for coming on. Now we got a special guest. We got a special guest coming on right now. Let me introduce this young lady. This is, Linda?
Yep.
Okay, hold on. Let me introduce. That, by the way, was the tale of Chris Nelson. Him and I and Red Brown and others, we're working together to help the save the kids, but also trying to clean up the corruption in the Broward County schools as well as in the courthouse and elsewhere. And that's what we're doing. Let me introduce my audience to you. We have somebody right now that has been victimized of a stalker. The trial's still going on, so we got to be careful on how we say things. But he is still being in the court system 5 years, 2018, believe it or not, 2018 is the case on the docket. And it's still going on. We're going to be in 2023 in a couple of weeks. This is outrageous. No due process. And she's initially, just by the 5 year wait, is a victim, is being victimized again. And there were other stuff going on behind that. And we have, we really have a system here in Broward County that needs to be cleaned up. There's no way that it should take that long. And the evidence is there. If the state attorney's office actually did their job back then, we could have had this case solved in a year max. But because of the aptitude on all sides, and we had a problem. Let me introduce you to Linda. I'm not going to give her the last name because for her own security reasons. But Linda, how you doing?
Still breathing, still surviving. It's very hard.
Yeah, no, I know.
People don't really know what it's like to have somebody that will harm them because they can and because that's what they want to do and not fear the law or feel anything to do whatever they want and lie to everyone like it's not happening, but he knows it is. Can't
the
hide from
is,
God.
See, sure. Yeah, no, that's true. But the thing is, I'm going to give a little background here. Even though the case is a 2018 case, this has been the problem of the stalking, of the intimidation, harassment has been going on for at least 10 years before that. It's been ongoing since the two people lived next door to each other. And at one time they were friends, supposedly, and then something happened and they ended up not being. I was involved initially for disclosure reasons at first, and initially I was going to be in the background, it's based on the information I was getting from, because I'm investigating my own way, and I have my own thing, as you know, about what's happening with the sheriff stuff now. But the thing is, I felt at that time that there was no innocent people because we don't know all the information. Until we do, we need to get the investigation going. And then they expanded out, and I was listening to, like I told Chris, I was listening to, yes, if we had, if I have to say friends, I had back in 2019, I said no, because I got rid of all this trash. I don't. My whole life changed around, especially over the last year or so. And I'm telling you, this is, it's really insane. What's happening to this young lady, she's so scared of this guy that she is so petrified. This guy is about 6 feet tall, about 500 pounds. In fact, he's so heavy, he broke, not that long ago, he broke his own wheelchair, which is hard to do, but he did. But the thing is, if you look at him standing up, and he has a very line. His line was, "I'm going to squeeze you to death." That was his line back in the day. And I personally see him violent. I know he can be dangerous back in the day. Now he's claiming that he is sick, but people started to wake up on that and say, "You've been dying for a year and a half now. When are you going to kill off?" That was written to somebody. The point is, people know that things are not happening, or they're lying, or he's trying to connive his way out of jail sentence. So, it got to the point where there was an article in the New Yorker about hospice fraud, and they named three states: California, New York, and Florida. And that said, that generated into other investigative reporters and investigations into hospice fraud, how doctors are using hospice to fleece and to money laundry and to have some kind of racketeering situation. And now every district attorney of every state is now looking into that. It's now an active federal investigation into it. Thank you, New Yorker, because now even down here, it's being investigated and it's confirmed. So that's a big thing. Now, the thing is, he knows he's in trouble. And he came out just a little while ago with another line. Tessa and I have renal cell carcinoma, kidney cancer. Well, that's 93% curable by every doctor, number one. Number two, is that he said that four or five times before. He's, you know, everything he says, he repeats 3, 4, 5 weeks later because it's not getting the traction he needs, and that's the problem. So now going back to Linda, she is so scared of this guy because of the things he's done, the road rage, the going out, going after moms with kids out right there, in fact, he hates children so much he told his girlfriend, now wife, that if she ever got pregnant, she had to go to the abortion. She would kill the baby. He would force her to kill the baby. So that's another thing. He also hates pets. He throws water and spitballs and everything else, barking dogs. He claims that he hates noise, pipes in his stereo, a big TV set loud that the whole neighborhood could hear it. So there's contradictions.
He has a dog.
Yeah, he has a dog. Has a dog, which is, I think he did that for his wife, but he really hates animals. The psychiatrist, he actually that dog loved his wife, but every time he tried to feed the dog bit him because the dog knows the truth. Animals sense violence. Animals sense hate, and they know the difference between love and hate. And that's what that is. But so, go ahead, explain to our audience how scared you are and why.
Every day I have to explain to my, well, not every day, but often enough, I have had to explain to my boyfriend that he may wake up one day and I'm not here because this guy's sick, twisted, and he does get inside my home. People don't believe that, but it's the truth. I have no reason to lie, and the only recording I have of anybody, it would be him, and I'm afraid because every day something bad is happening. Every day something bad is happening, and mostly
now,
it's beatings and attacks physically.
Now, Linda.
He's an angry guy.
Okay, we know he's angry guy. We know all the stuff that you see over the years that you lived next door to each other. The fact that you got so scared and they're so petrified of this guy that you became such, your mental state became so scared, and they call it paranoia. But the point is, what you do is that you
I've never gotten paranoid. My boyfriend's got paranoia, but I know I don't have paranoia.
But the point,
I know what he's up to.
Okay, what I'm trying to say is, in your defense, is that you, and the state could prove this, is that you are so scared of this guy, so petrified of this guy, that he's going to kill you, that something happens somewhere, you think it's him, even though it might not be, but you think it's him because you're so scared. That's part of, let me finish with this. The reason why I'm saying this is because that is a definitive definition of somebody that has been stalked physically, mentally, and violently over the years. It happens to everyone that's been that way to the point that you can get to that. It's not this, you're not alone. In fact, we did a TV show called Not Alone back in the day with Law and Order SVU called You're Not Alone. And the thing is, these things do happen when you get into a situation like that. And even though he may be 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 miles away, and something happens to you or near you, you think he's there. So when you call the cops and say he's there, and they come and they don't see anything but maybe a skull or something, what they don't realize that what's the reason is. But now the state, those have that evidence. As not only the state, but the feds do, because it's now, because of the hostage point, it's a federal case now. So you got all that going for you. The evidence is there. He is going to go to prison. There was no ifs, ands, or buts between your case and the other stuff. Oh, we know for a fact. It's just a matter of days now. You're going to see things change. There is a federal investigation into the medical aspect of the fraud and everything else. That's already hit the papers. You got the New York article. You got the other articles. Things are happening. You just got to be patient. But the thing is, your biggest thing is you got to understand, he's being watched 24/7. There are things going on every which way. The feds are there, the state's there, the local police. He can't go down the block without somebody from law enforcement agency keeping an eye on him. They know what he's doing. They know he goes to dances. They know he goes to picnics. They know he goes to the churches. They know what he's doing, and they see it, and that's a good thing. So. You got to allow, one of the reasons why I wanted John here was to explain that to you and to allow the various law enforcement agencies to do their job. Okay? I can't, even when I become sheriff, I can't be involved in this case because I'll be a conflict of interest. But there is a team already in place investigating it. And they're all part of it. They're all working in conjunction to get this case done. And what else? This case shouldn't have taken so long. Due process was violated. This process, due process on both sides have been violated for you, the victim, and him, the accused. Due process is a violation right there on both sides, and Broward County needs to be responsible for it and they got to be responsible and pay for that type of violation. And they will. There's going, one of the things we're doing in the next few weeks is to revamp, working with DeSantis to redesign or reform the court system here in Broward County. There's a whole list of stuff going on, and we're going to change.
It's not helpful that he keeps throwing himself into mental court, and they keep allowing that. That's what the problem is.
Okay, well, that's not happening anymore. He's out of mental court officially. He will be. In fact, he's going to be probably transferred to a federal court case in the next few days because of the hospice fraud stuff. But in the meantime, he is not going to be in mental court. He's going to go to trial on criminal charges. on the aggravated stalking. Plus, they added the hospice fraud and all the other conspiracy, the fraud, the courts, conspiracy, the fraud. There's a lot. I can't get into the investigations in there, but the place where he is gone to hospice, the stuff that he's doing, every one of them, that place is under federal investigation. And that's all I can say. There are investigations now into hospice fraud, thanks to New Yorker magazine, the New Yorker article, and that's the key. But anyway, we're getting close to the end of the show. Is there any final word that you can say?
Who's the guy that, myself? Who's the guy that was just on there? That was interesting.
That was Chris,
sounds interesting.
That was Chris Nelson. Chris Nelson and I and Red Brow was the four of us, along with Gabe and a bunch of others, we are the ones that are actually exposing all the stuff. We're in the forefront of all the stuff. Beverly Pham, we're the ones that got her in. She didn't get any endorsement, really. She was a conservative, a Republican conservative that really didn't have much here in Broward County. But she was with our show and a bunch of us, and we were pushing her, and out of nowhere she won. And so we're good at that. We're going to have another school board member appointed by DeSantis in a couple of weeks. He's going to be down here in a few days, and we're going to have a bunch of stuff happening to do that. But that's what that is. Chris Nelson is a great guy. He is someone that loves children, and he is fighting for kids. He's right. He goes to school board meetings and everything else, and he takes the arrows. Really good. And Red Broward does a lot of the investigation of corruption to the Broward County system and the politicians and stuff. And I worked at Judicial Watch and all that stuff. So that's how we do it all. Anyway, we got to end the show. I want to thank you for coming on, Linda. And next time we can get you on longer, and we'll give you a little bit more time, okay?
Yeah, it'd be nice to chat and actually talk and say what's really happening.
Yeah, but you know, I'm trying to cut you down a little bit because of the court. You got to understand, you still have a trial to go through, which will be in a short time. So we can't say too much on your end, because we don't want to influence the court. You know, he tries to influence the jury pool. They already know that. He's done for that. But we don't want you to do the same. We're protecting both the injured as well as the defendant. It's because we are on a radio show and we gotta be kind of neutral. All right. Let me thank you so much for coming on and have a blessed evening. And let me end the show. I want to thank you, everyone. Out to Chris Nelson and Linda and Scarlett, who's listening. And everybody in the chat room, thank you for coming on. We'll be on Sunday at 7 o'clock. As the truth is out there, voice of the people, God bless you all. And we'll see you again on Sunday.
Just my children and my wife. Thank my lucky stars to be living here today. 'Cause the flag still stands for freedom, and they can't take that away. And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I'd gladly stand up next to you and defend her still today. 'Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. From the lakes of Minnesota to the hills of Tennessee, across the plains of Texas, from sea to shining sea. From Detroit down to Houston and New York to LA, there's pride in every American heart, and it's time.